I just wanted to expound on that and say how much I'm glad that I'm here, because we are dealing in life today. If you're here today, you're wanting life, and life more abundantly. And what else was it? Salvation. I was looking at it, and it's health. It said it was health, and it said that. And another thing, have you ever remembered that commercial where this little kid is sitting there? I don't remember what he's got, maybe some French fries sitting there, and he's got a bottle of ketchup. And he's got this ketchup, and he's turning it up, you know, and his eyes, and he's got a big smile on his face. And what was it? Anticipation. He was looking for something. He was looking what was coming out of that bottle. Anticipation. And that's what I got. I've got a hope in Christ. That anticipation is what I'm looking for. There's an anticipation there that you know is coming out of the bottle. And you're waiting for the ketchup to hit the fries, you know. And so that's kind of what I feel here today, is a hope in Christ. There's a hope in God that there's nothing else that can replace it. There is a hope in Christ that it surpasses any expectation that we can have. And so I'm glad that God saw something in me that has said, Jerry York, I'm going to try to save you. And so that's why I'm here. I'm trying to let him try to save me. I need saving. God, I'm going to have death if I don't get saved and have life eternal. But, you know, either way we came, we're either going to kill the old man here, or we're going to succumb to death if we don't. So either way, something's got to die. Something's got to die. And I'd rather the old man in me die and gain eternal life. And so if you get down in the mully grub, just think of hope and say, anticipation, Lord, anticipation. Give me more anticipation. So, I want to say, God, thank you. Thank you for giving me life, for giving me eternal salvation. Boy, isn't it precious? It's the precious oil and the truth that God is anointing us with. Man, I appreciate that. But I'm glad I'm here. I just wanted to put my penny's worth in and let God know that, you know, that's the only way I know how to tell him that I appreciate it, is to say, look, I'm willing, God, to stand up and give you thanks for the salvation that you have placed in my heart. Because you, Christ only, is my salvation. There is no other way to Christ, to heaven, but through Christ Jesus himself. There's no other religious, there's no other things. Out here in this world, everything is all man-made. It's all man thought of. But there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. And so, God, grant me that privilege of gaining life eternal, because I need it. And I want to live forever. I I'm selfish. I want to live forever. I love this life, and I want it to continue. But anyway, pray for me. Pray for our family.
I'm thankful to be here today. I took some advertising classes, but I'm not really prepared for a good advertisement. But if you would have been here today at Bible study, I mean, that was awesome. That was awesome. If I was Siskel and Ebert, if you know who that is, I'd give him two thumbs up. But, I mean, I I should have prepared a better advertisement because I did take some advertising in college. But he did an awesome job. And I thought those scriptures that he gave today, even though it was in a rush mode, it was scriptures that I wanted to make sure I had second copies of it. Because it basically, those scriptures today, and I hate to use the term, and luckily it's just us here today, keyword us, it defines us between us and them. Because we're the only group of people, or if you want to look at it from a broader spectrum, we're the only groups of people that believe in life and death, not heaven and hell. A lot of people in the outer world believe that, you know, oh, I got to live for Jesus so I can pass up this fire escape. That's all they're doing. It's just trying to say, oh, I don't want to burn forever and ever. They're trying to get away from a fire escape. So they're not really loving the Lord with their heart. They're going to church to try to keep from the alternative. And me, I hate to say this, it might not be the best thing to say, but if I die and I do have an unjust resurrection, I know one thing about it. I won't know nothing about it after my second death, because the dead knoweth nothing. So I'm just thankful that, you know, I don't fear death. I'm concerned about death until DJ and Natalie grows up. I'm concerned about it because I want to see them grow up and try to be better people than I am. But me personally, I don't have fear of death. I mean, don't shoot me today because, hey, I'm not ready yet, but you know. But I'm just saying, I don't have a fear of death. Brother Tucker, one time after President Reagan got shot, he said, I wish that people would be able to do like, what was his name? Now you can tell I'm getting old because I can't even remember his name. But wasn't Delahunty. Delahunty was the policeman. But the Secret Service officer that stepped up and took the bullet for Reagan, you know, when he got in the stomach. But he said, because there's going to be one day when we're not going to have the freedom we got in this church today, that they're going to have someday, probably somebody's going to come in here with an AK-47 and say, are you going to serve the beast? Are you going to serve whatever they're going to say we are? And you'll pretty well know the men from the boys or the men, women from the girls when whoever quits, you know. But hopefully I'll be able to, whenever they have an MK-47, and say, you gonna stay with this group? I'll probably say, go ahead. I'm ready. But right now, at this certain second, I'm not ready. But I want to be where I am ready one of these days. And today, earlier in church, I saw a certain individual sitting back in the church. And it made me think back in high school. One of my high school teachers, and I wish I'd applied myself more in high school, because now I'm catching it now because I didn't apply myself. I was, as Brother Smith called us, a body brat. And I thought we were going to be gone when I was a teenager. I thought I was going to be another Stevens, and I was going to be 17 years old. I'm more than 17 now. I thought I was going to be 17 years old, and I thought that was going to be it. And I wish I applied myself more in high school. And now we know somewhere it'll be 2030-something. I'm not going to go there because the scripture says no man knows the day or the hour. But at least if I knew, like out there they teach, well, Jesus is going to come any day now. Jesus is going to come any day now, any day now. That's another thing that makes a difference between us and them. we know that there's got to be some revelations and some things that take place in this world before Jesus is even going to come back. So we got enough knowledge of that. So I'm glad about that us and them thing, that I know that much. But then, as one of my teachers said in high school, your A students sit on the front row. Your B students sit on a second or third row back. Your C students are farther back in class. And the clowns, the class clowns, they sit in the back. They sit in the back of the class. Because they don't care if they're going to get their grades up. They don't care if they get their keep their grades up. They think, okay, why do I need to get a better job when I get out of high school? Because the world's going to end anyway. So that's my, how come I didn't do as well as I should have? But when you start paying for college, because I wasn't a rich kid, when you start paying for your college, you want to get your every dime's worth. So I started becoming a front row student. So I thank God that we are in the body of Christ and that we know about life and death. And we're not worried about a fire escape, because I never was worried about a fire escape. And then we know that it ain't somebody on an outside influence trying to get you to do something. My problems are all up here. My major problems are all up here. And I have enough problems without somebody influencing me. All my problems are up here. So I thank the Lord that we have, it's just regular people here today. It's our regular saints. It's us, not them, here. And so I can actually deliver myself to what we're saying. But I'm thankful for all those years. And at least, as Brother Daniels used to say, I know you got the copyright on it, Brother Daniels, so I gotta keep it. I want to be a prisoner for God. I want to be a prisoner. I want to be handcuffed. I want to have those handcuffs on. And I want to be able that when the judge puts down his gavel, and he says, he's got a life sentence. I thank the Lord.
Thought. It's really not a thought, it's coming from the heart. And when that comes from the heart, it can glorify our God and our Savior. So I want to get up and say how thankful I am that He set me free and that He's making me free and He's helping me do this. I'm not doing this by my strength at all, and I know that. And I am so thankful that He brought me to a place where it's beautiful. His people is beautiful. His spirit is sweet and loving. And he cares for me and everyone in here, not just me. And I'm so thankful that I didn't know I needed saving. But now I know what salvation is about. And I needed that. I didn't know I needed that. You know, you just know that what the world teaches is John 3:16, that God loves the world, that he gave his only begotten son. But to have a vision of what that really means and to work on my salvation, oh, that is a pearl. That's a pearl to me, and it's precious to me to know when I see John 3:16 on people, the truckers' cars, trucks, I'm like, well, do they really know what that John 3:16 really means? Because, oh, it's sweet. It is. It's that ultimate plan that Jesus had for our soul, why he loves this whole world. And he included me. And so I am so thankful that he reached down here and touched my heart. And not only when he touched my heart, I could be like many who could turn and say, Lord, I'm not ready. I don't want that. You know, I want to serve you with a 10-foot pole because I still got things to do. But no, when he filled me with that precious Holy Ghost, he let me know his way was better than the way I was going. You know, it's something to know that when you come into the light, you don't realize how much darkness you were really in. You know, and I see that, and I can say that because I know I was in darkness. And if you have unsaved loved ones and you see how they live in every day, but yet they still love God, but that darkness still is covering their lives until you meet the Savior, that he brings you into the light. And I'm so thankful for being in the light. And Brother Daniel, when you mentioned about our salvation, it brought back to my memory. Brother Lineker used to teach on that, how we, you know, we have to be thankful for everything. And I used to say, Lord, I'm thankful for my salvation. But then when you really examine yourself on the inside, are you really thankful for your salvation? I mean, really, really, really thankful, or you just, well, I'm just word-lipping, saying I'm thankful for my salvation, but it has to be in my heart. It has to be down in my soul that I'm really thankful for my salvation, and I appreciate it, and I don't want to take it for granted. You know, I don't want to have that self-righteous salvation. You know, I'm doing just fine. But is it God working in me, or is it me? I think I'm trying to draw the thin line between righteousness and self-righteousness and thinking I'm getting it right. But it's not my salvation plan. It's the Lord's salvation plan. So am I in his will to be in that his salvation? And I just think about that. I was thinking about that, and Brother Lineker used to say, you have to be thankful for everything, and then you have to learn how to let the Lord work in your life so that he can deliver you and give you that salvation that's in his plan. Because I think the scripture says if you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Is that correct? So, oh, it's a fearless thing not to trust the Lord with my salvation. So I'm real thankful for the place that I'm in, that I'm learning that salvation just don't come free. It has a price. And I'm that sacrifice that paying that price for this sweet salvation. And I'm just so thankful today that I don't do everything right. And I always probably say a lot of things is, you know, Lord, why can't it be my will sometimes? But that's the price to pay too if you let your will be all the time and not God, and trust in God. And I'm learning how to trust him more in all situations, and not only just trust him, be thankful in all situations. because that's my heart today, is learning how to be more thankful no matter what the Lord takes me through, and to trust him as I go through it. Because I was praying this morning thinking about how he has brought me over many, many times, not even knowing that God was working. But he's always working. He's always working. I know my natural eye can't see it. It might not, my natural mind might can't understand it. But if I learn to let go and trust God that he's working out my salvation. My salvation on this journey to see him one day. And I know it's not sometimes it's not easy. But he said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That's another trust thing. You have to trust that God's yoke is easy, and he won't put no more on us than we can bear. And I found that when I get that heavy load or that burden on my shoulders, I have to look to the hills. I have to touch the hem of his garment. I have to do something and let God take over. Let him take control. So I'm thankful today for my salvation and where I'm at. I know that when I first came around, I didn't understand being saved from the world. Well, that was part of salvation, being saved from the world. But I didn't even know that I would need to be saved from Babylon as well. So I could have been in two death traps, huh? But he didn't allow it because I didn't get in deep with Babylon. When I was young, when he touched my heart, this is where he landed me, here in the body of Christ. And he gave me a vision. He opened my eyes. And he's still opening my eyes, because there's so many truths in the word of God and so many revelations that I probably don't have them all, but I'm thankful for what I do have, that God has given me an understanding of his true salvation and the revelations of the five doctrine. But it's just not get up and go to church every Sunday. We need to go serve God and then go back home and just do what you do. I don't know, but every day and all day long, I need to praise him in the morning, praise him in the evening, praise him when the sun go down, think about him, think about his scriptures, his words, think about his people, pray for his people. And I know everyone is praying for me as well. It's life. I have to live this. I just can't hear it. I got to live it. And when I was getting ready this morning, I said, Lord, I sure hope I'm a light to my family. I don't want to be a light that's hidden under the bushel, because somebody needs something. I know the world always say, give people a hug, love somebody, smile to somebody today. You might make somebody day. Well, why don't you say something about God? That's what's going to make you smile. That's what's going to give you joy. And sometimes you don't have to say it. You can just live it. So that's the way I want my life, that when you come and talk to me, or if you even see me, there's something special about me. I know Jesus. I know Jesus to the place where John 3:16 means just being converted. It means I got to get to know my Savior. I got to love him. I got to understand that salvation plan, and I got to die to my will. And thank you, Lord, for helping me die daily, even if it's just a little inkly, winkly, winkly die, little dot die. I thank him for that, because I could have, and that I'm aware of it, that I'm dying from something so that I could live, be more like Christ, because as Brother Lineker and the pastor ministers has taught us, that name Jesus, that means putting on the nature of our Lord and Savior. So that's all precious to me. That's all in that salvation plan that God has allowed me to understand and to feel his presence. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. And I don't want to complain. I don't want to whine, but sometimes I do, because I'm probably a spiritual brat or baby brat, but I get over it. I get over it through the power of the Holy Ghost, not me. I get over it through the power of the Holy Ghost, and I keep going until I get over it. And I thank him for that. I'm trying to express to you how much I'm so thankful that he cares enough about me. He lets me see what he's doing in this earth today, what he's doing with my life. He's just a wonderful Savior. And I don't have a desire to go to the world. That desire, you know, that was a big die out. That was a big one. But I don't think I lost anything. I know I didn't. I'm learning now. It's life or death. And then someone said, I choose life. I choose life. Because he gave me this opportunity to serve him. And that's my desire, is to serve my Savior. Even if it's strange to others, how Holy Ghost, sanctified, Pentecostal, however they want to labor it, lives. You know, because they talk to me about some things that goes on in the world, and I'm, I didn't always be like that, but I think that's the grace of God. Now I'm stupid to it because I don't know. Because it don't interest me. So I'm really strange now, but I'm not strange to me. And I'm not strange to Jesus. Because he knows what I need in my heart to keep going on in his steps. And he guides my footsteps daily. And I'm so thankful for his love and his mercy and his grace. And I know his grace is sufficient. And his blood is covering me and my family. And I have to keep reminding myself that he cares enough for me. As we've been taught, you can, my treasures up in heaven, they can be extended to my loved ones. And I believe that. I know I've never heard Brother Tucker teach that, but I heard Brother Lineker teach that you got to believe on something or you'll believe in anything. And I believe what I'm being taught here and what I'm hearing and what I'm depositing in my heart, I believe that he's able. He's able. If he could deliver me, he can deliver my loved ones. Might not be when I think so or when I want it. You know, there's that my will. But as long as he keep working on me and making me stronger and I get closer to him, the burden gets lighter, doesn't it? The burden gets lighter. So I just like to keep coming in and pressing and hearing everyone's testimony and encouraging you, lifting you up. And oh, when you see someone get in the spirit and you know they connecting with heaven, it does something for your soul. It lets you know that God is real and he cares about you. So I'm thankful for today. I'm thankful to be part of the body of Christ. And I'm thankful for the salvation that God is allowing me to continue to walk in his way. I'm thankful for the senior citizens that is the light in my life. we can do it. Sister Chloe said, keep on. You can do it, you know. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I had to say today, I've been feeling that all service, Sister Rochella, a thankfulness that what God had done, saving me from the world. I got saved very young, so and what I was in the world then, it's not what like the world is today. And then that God always dealt with me, and then in bringing me in here. But one of the things I was thinking about today when Michael was singing, because that song came from Fort Worth, and I was thinking about the people that had left here. It's no longer in the body. The people I know, and the people I know that was in an outstanding church there in Fort Worth that no longer is here today. But I'm so thankful that I'm still here because of their mindset today. These people I serve God with, they love going and sitting to teachings. They loved going to Bible study. They loved the move of the Spirit. They loved going to meetings. But you hear them talk today, they're saying, I'm so thankful I don't have to do that no more. I'm so thankful I don't have to listen to doctor no more. I'm so thankful I don't have to be in service all day. I can go for maybe an hour on Sunday or once a week. I'm so thankful I don't have to dress like that no more. I thought, they've lost it. I am so thankful I'm not with that group of people no more. I am so, you know, I'm thinking, oh my God. Oh my God, that could be me. That could be me. Oh God, have mercy on their soul. They're saying they're thankful that they're not here. They've lost it. They've lost it. They don't remember. You know, I think this is our life. Sister Inez always says, this is my life. This is my life. Where do you want to spend all day Sunday? Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? I don't have to clean the church. I don't have to do this. I don't have to go to meetings. I don't have to. My God, this is our life. This is where we get our life. Like Sister Rochelle said, it's that word that comes behind the pulpit. Sometimes our minds might scatter, but then we grab a hold of it and grab it in there. And then the Holy Ghost and the testimonies, like Sister Rochelle, I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss it. And let's pray. They might not make it back. But there's people out there that will come in, but only God knows their souls and knows their heart. But I think, my God, that could be me. And I don't want it to be me. I don't want something to happen that I start slow. You don't do it overnight. It starts slowly. And then you become someone else. And I'm so thankful that God lift me off that deathbed, but more thankful than anything is He touched my soul and He gave me the Holy Ghost and He brought me this way. And I know today, every time I travel, I know that whatever God's plan is for me, that I'm in His hands. And that His work will go on and my children will go on. But I want to keep growing, Sister Rochelle. I want to keep growing. I don't want to get laxed. I want to keep going. When Sister Crow didn't show up this morning, I hadn't talked to Sister Ann. I got on that phone, you know, and I knew something was wrong. And that's what I want to be. I want to be when I don't show up, somebody says, something's wrong. She's always on the job. You know, and I just appreciate, I feel a thankfulness, just like Sister Rochelle said, in my heart today. I'm not cutting the people that are gone. I'm just saying, oh God. I was telling Sister Hutchinson a while ago, I don't know why it hit me when I saw her. I said, you're still here. You've been through just as much as anybody else, and you're still here. And she's having people over their house for dinner. They're working. They're bringing the people from Republic over and serving them and having them over there. She's here still working. She's still helping. And Brother Hutchinson is really, he don't feel good today, but he's here. See? He's grown. He's here. It took everything he could to be here today. He can't hardly stand up during service, but he came. He came to church today because something's working down inside of him. Something's working down. Sister Wilkins didn't want to get up out of bed this morning, but she's here. And what did it do for us when she walked in this door? It thought, if she can do it, I can do it. I didn't feel good this morning when I got up, but as I started getting ready for church, something came alive in me. And I just want to make it. And it's not the way I used to think it was. I used to think I had to beat myself up every time. Oh, you failed today. You lost your spirit. You got mad. You woke up grumpy. I should have left him in bed. You know. But now I just say, oh, sweet Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Jesus. I'm not going to live a defeated life. I have my Jesus and my King sitting on the throne who's done many things for me. I might not always... If we knew that long hair and long face and long sleeves and long face and all that made it. We got to get it inside. And the outside will glow and you'll dress right and you'll look right and everything else will follow. And I don't know what's wrong with me, but I just feel so good inside. And y'all look so ready for lunch, and so am I, but I just feel so good. I feel so good, Sister Wilkins. And not naturally I don't feel good, but I'm spiritually I just feel alive this morning and so thankful. And when you run in those people and they start talking negative, just smile. Don't give in. Don't let them get them down, and just smile at them and say, well, I don't know what to say. Maybe the Holy Ghost will tell you what to say. But don't get down. Don't get down. The Holy Ghost can speak better than anything that you can say. So, but anyway, I was thinking, because I'm on that Facebook, and I have friends I was friends with 30 years ago, and I read some of the things they write, and I'm going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And their kids are not in church, and their kids are on there, and I'm reading that, and I think, oh, Jesus. I prayed some of those kids to the Holy Ghost, and they don't even remember. Oh, Jesus. But God is a merciful God. But what I want to work on is my salvation and whoever. We had I had a family come out yesterday afternoon and look at puppies. And there was something different about this guy. And I guess we just got talking, so we got talking. And then he kept asking me. He asked me where I went to church. I kept telling him. And he asked what denomination it was. And I told him. So finally he said, where do you go to church? He goes, well, I'm Baptist, and my wife and my children are Catholic. And I said, oh, I said, you know, when I was younger, I said, that's where I met the Lord. And I started talking to him about how I got saved. And she's just standing there looking at us. And I said, but you know, and he said, what are you now? And so I told him, I said, well, I don't know how to explain it, because if you came in, you would say we're Pentecostal. And I started telling him how God started dealing with every one of us about there has to be something more than what we have, and that we live the way we live because that's the way we've been taught. And his wife said, yeah. And I said, we go to church because we think it's right, because that's where we've always gone. But I said, we can't all be right. We can all be wrong, but we can't all be right. But we all have a measure of something. And we met this group of people that wants to have more. And he goes, now where is that church? And I thought, well, you know, and I was, Smith went there, and I was just preaching. They didn't buy a dog. They said they'd come back. But anyway, we got to talking about the Lord and talking about salvation. I didn't talk about the Holy Ghost or anything like that. I just started talking about the Lord and a people that long for more serving God and more truth. And that's all I talked to him about. You know, I didn't talk about nothing else, you know. And then she got to talking, and she's looking at us because she never went to the Baptist church with him. and so she's raising her girls Catholic, and he's, you know, that's their choice, you know. And I think, but they were a nice family, a good family. And I was thinking, Lord, I want my light to shine. I want that when they walk in here one day, if they walk in here one day, they'll see something. Not in me, but in Christ, in every one of you. And that's what we have to be having our fillers out at work and at the store and everywhere we go, feeling if there's a place, if someone would just ask us, is there something more to them what I have? Because I'll never forget the time that I was serving God and I was sitting and I was getting depressed. You think you can't get depressed? You can get depressed serving God. And I was sitting in the dark. My husband came home one night and I said, there's got to be more than what I've got, because I don't have enough to make it. And God was dealing with our family. So I just appreciate, Sister Rochella, that you stirred that up inside of me. I really do. Thank you, Lord.
Talked to my oldest son a couple of weeks ago, and he's a RN, and he was telling me in dealing, he works at a nursing home, he actually works in the administration part, but he was telling me, he said, we'd been on the subject of people dying. I've got an uncle that had just found out he has terminal cancer, and I can't quite understand it because he went in for this surgery and he's just full of cancer and they sewed him back up and sent him home. And yet he's going to have this radiation, all this treatments and stuff. And I was talking to my son about it and I said, I really don't understand his motives. I haven't spoke to him, but I don't understand him. He said, Mom, I see it all the time. He said, people that don't have this hope that we have, he said, they'll reach out that for any ounce of life to hold on, Brother Durham, to anything to stay alive in this world. But like Brother Dodson said, you know, we have a peace. We have a hope that this world doesn't have. And it even goes further than that. It was like Sister Smith was saying, you know, we belong to this family, you know, of God, and we are his children, and we know what we have. And I thought when I came in, God was so unbelievably merciful to me and gracious that not only did he see fit to bring me in, but a couple years after I came in, he brought in my brothers, 3 out of 4 brothers, and which is just a miracle if you knew our background and knew how we knew nothing of God. And I thought, I was thinking, you know, I have watched through the years, I've been in this almost 32 years, and I have watched, and I've held on to God. Thank God I haven't ever backslid. I've been shaken, believe me, but I have never backslid. And I've got one of my little brothers the same way. I've watched him shake, but I've watched him stay on the road. But then I've got 2 of the 3 that I have watched him backslide. But through all that, Sister Smith, God's been very gracious and brought him back in. And I thought one of my little brothers, he went through a divorce and it shook him and it just devastated him. He went right out into the world and he met a young girl. And he starts dating this girl and he told us about it, but we had met her. Well, finally one night he brings her over and introduced her to Tommy and I. Well, we was just cordial to her and, you know, that was about it. But that very night, that girl, the whole time my brother, the Lord was dealing with my little brother and I didn't know it about getting back in church. And so he started talking to her about his life and you know, different things that he knew about this people. And he was very young. Well, anyway, he started talking to her and she began to cry. And that night, after she'd left Tommy and I, my house, she went home and she had this just beautiful dream. And I've never even heard of anyone having anything like this. I won't go into details about the dream, but the Lord even showed her she would receive the Holy Ghost and even showed her what time she would receive it. Showed her a watch on her arm that what time she'd receive it. And so the next morning, my brother called me and told me about this dream, and we just couldn't believe it. The dream was so obvious. Well, that Saturday night, I told my brother, I said, bring her on to church. So he brought her, and we was having a special singing there in Godfrey that night. Well, long story short, I just forgot about the dream, forgot about everything. The Spirit was moving in so strong. And lo and behold, that girl got the Holy Ghost that night at exactly 9 o'clock that night. And the reason we know that is I'd forgot about it, and so did everybody else, but we had shared that dream with everybody. We were so excited, and Brother Jason Daves was watching his watch, you know, and he couldn't believe it. He was like, you can imagine the shout that went up when she received the Holy Ghost. And of course, sadly enough, he's been in and out, and he's wavered. And I've watched him, but I know the Lord is dealing with him yet again. Well, then my oldest brother, whom, just to throw this in, he's even spent a couple weeks here helping to wire this church. He used to be under Brother Leniger. And anyway, my brother, a couple of years ago, about 3 years ago, he had been married for 25 years. And he went through just a devastating divorce. And it just shook him all the way down. I watched him. He just couldn't seem to hold on. And it was very hard on us. And he even moved to Republic, Missouri for a while. And he only came to a few of the services. He just couldn't get his grips. And I watched his children backslide. And it was just very, very sad situation. And after he was even kind of gung-ho at first. I even thought he might be moving down here, but he just couldn't get his feet back on the ground. Well, anyway, long story short, after we moved here, he ended up moving back to Illinois. And again, still just devastated by everything that he had gone through, he began to date this girl. And last time Tommy and I was home at Thanksgiving, we met this woman for the first time. Well, anyway, the Lord, again, so merciful, so gracious, began to talk to his heart again about this people in this way. And all the while, there was a little church that started up. I don't know how many of you know Brother Bon Reynolds from Jonesboro, Illinois. Well, anyway, there was a group of people from Brother Jolly's church that had been out of church for years, Sister Smith, and they wanted God. They had just been devastated through the whole thing with Brother Jolly. Anyway, they was praying and getting together, praying for a church, praying. So a few of them went down to Brother Bon Reynolds and asked him if he'd please come back, come to Columbia, Illinois, and start a church there and help them. So Brother Bon did, and there's a group of about 30 people there. Well, my little brother Greg and his wife Joan started going over there and working with the church, and he said the church is just booming. It just, they have to shut down the services after like 3 hours, and these people are just so excited to get to have this again because they didn't backslide because they wanted the world. They backslid because of circumstances. Well, long story short, the Lord's been dealing with my oldest brother. And so he went to this girl. This all happened just within the last 2 weeks. He went to this girl, and this lady he was dating, and he told her, he said, I'm going to break this off. He said, because I need to get back to church. I need to get my life straightened up and get back in. And he began to talk to her. And so next thing you know, this girl started crying and talking to him about God and telling him that she knew so very little about God, but the only church she had ever gone to was just a little church. She didn't even know what kind it was. And she said the preacher would get up and begin to read out the Bible and tell stories, and she would just weep and cry, wanting God. But the people would just look at her. And she said after two or three times of that, she was so embarrassed she couldn't even go back. She didn't know why she would cry. But yet there was no hope. There was no life in that church, nothing that could help this girl. Well, she began to share this with my brother. Well, my brother began to talk to her. He got out his a Bible and started reading to her and talking to her about the Holy Ghost and why he had to get his life straightened up. Well, next thing you know, this girl's wanting the Holy Ghost. So he calls. And he's telling us to pray for this girl. God's dealing with this girl. So we're like, okay. So then he decided to take her to church. She starts begging him, take me to church, take me to this people that you say you found. So Friday night, he took her to church. Within just minutes, this girl got the Holy Ghost. God's so good. And, you know, you hear it's not too hard for younger people to come and get the Holy Ghost. This girl's birthday was Saturday, and she turned 50. Woo, to get it so easy. He called me, and through the night, I knew he was going to church, and I was, I hope this don't offend anybody, but I was busy watching the Olympics, but I'd stop that Olympics, and I would get down, and I'd pray, because, of course, you know, I wanted to be in church there, and not watching the Olympics, but anyway, I was praying, oh, God, give this girl the same thing you gave me. Oh, because we know the life and we know the hope that we have. And of course we want to share it, Sister Smith. And my brother prayed right on back through to the Holy Ghost. Oh, I have so much to be thankful for. God's been so gracious to my family. So good. And I have a very special prayer request for all of you. God has, like I said, kept his hand on my life through the years. And when I've watched my families make bad decisions, God's been so merciful. I watched my oldest son backslide, and I watched him go into the Air Force. And you know, his last day in the military was 9/10. Tell me that wasn't God. not knowing what the next day was, that it would change the course of history. And you know, he never was called back, never had to go back. So I know what my God can do. But here it is a few years later, and I'm faced with it again. For the last probably week and a half, my little one, this has just absolutely shocked us, is trying to go into the Air Force. And I know God can do anything. And he told me he has to wait a couple weeks for this recruiter to be able to contact him because he's on a special assignment. I thought, thank you for a couple weeks to pray, God. And I know God can take him through the Air Force and, like Brother Smith said, bring him back through a hole backwards if he so chooses. God can do anything. God can, if that's what it takes, and I've learned a long time ago to turn my brothers, my children, everything else over to him. He is a very caring father, and he's certainly capable of taking care of them. And I know God could use anything. My son has got flat feet. God, if he so chooses, could keep him out of the military with flat feet. God could do anything, and I know that. But I've learned many, many years ago that when I have a situation that's bigger than me, to not only take it to God, but to take it before the people and ask the people to help me to pray, because I have seen miracles happen. And I just appreciate God, and I appreciate you all so very much.
I think the Lord used her to speak to me. So I'm going to take this before the people and ask you to pray. My 5-year-old granddaughter, Nicole, is in a situation that I need God's intervention. I won't go into the details. It's not a pretty issue. Don't ask me. When she was talking about her son, my son let a young lady get a hold of him that has drug him down to the belly of the whale like Jonah. And they're adults and they can choose what they want to do with their life, and I want to pray for them. But right now, I need your prayers for Nicole. It is very desperate and very dire. So I'm asking my brothers and sisters to help me pray.
Well, before we go eat, let's all stand and call out to God. Same God that saves Brother Daryl and this girl he was dating, Julie, and he was talking about. She's talking about Trish, that God showed her, give her a dream. She's going to get the Holy Ghost at 9 o'clock. Can perform a miracle in Nicole's life. So let's ask God for a miracle.
Yes,
Lord God, we believe you, Lord, that you can perform this miracle. We petition and ask you, oh God, to reach out and intervene in this situation. You're merciful and kind and loving. And we know you're working things and for our good before we even know what's going on, oh God. Lord, we just ask, Lord, for our sister's sake, for her family, oh God. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Oh, lila kila bohia la 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 ya dorosi jana bahaya da dagi. Shonda la bahaya tarakila shoda la ki. Oh God, thank you for this wonderful day that we've had, these beautiful testimonies, hallelujah, these good words that were brought forth that show us what you're doing in everyone's life. Oh God, thank you for today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. We're going to have